from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Building power of Indonesian Air Force needs strategic and sustainable concept. Indonesian President Joko Widodo calls on people to consume local food. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo pushes for stabilization of ASEAN macroeconomy. Now the news in detail. In anticipating many challenges of strategic environmental dynamism, the Indonesian Air Force must have willingness and commitment to create optimal result. However, it must be realized that maintaining the condition of main weaponry system of the Air Force is not easy because it relates to the readiness of all components of the Air Force, both personnel, main weaponry system, Air Force base, facilities, and other infrastructures. It was stated by Indonesian Air Force Chief of Staff Air Marshal Yuyu Sutisna at the commemorating of 72nd anniversary of the Indonesian Air Force at the Air Force Base in Halim Perdana Kusuma, Jakarta on Monday, April 9.
Membangun kekuatan udara yang diinginkan tentunya.
Building the qualified Air Force cannot be implemented at a short time or until the enemy comes to attack or explore the potential in Indonesia. It needs a strategic concept with elements related with the purposes, interests, target, policy, and commitment, as well as realistic and sustainable programs. Furthermore, Air Marshal Yuyu Sutisna also said, building idle power in supporting duty is a must. He explained, development of minimum essential force is the appropriate answer and must be carried out. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has urged the people to consume local foods as the main nutritional intake to prevent stunting or dwarfishness and malnutrition. President Joko Widodo, on the sidelines of the implementation of supplement food feeding, or PMT program in Bantar Gadung District, Sukabumi District, West Java on Sunday, April the 8th, said Indonesia has many sources of nutritious food ranging from nuts, fruits, vegetables, fish, side dishes, and others. According to him, the central government is currently focusing on providing supplement foods for children under the age of 5, babies, pregnant women, and lactating mothers with local foodstuffs such as bananas, green beans, papaya, fish, tempeh, and others. The potential of such resources should be utilized as an additional food in improving the nutrition of the people. In addition, President Joko Widodo instructed the Family Welfare Movement Team, Integrated Health Service Post, or Posyandu cadres, and Public Health Care Service, or Puskesmas officers, to carry out PMT regularly. PMT program aims to reduce the number of malnourished children, stunting, and malnutrition. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo was present in the annual ASEAN Central Bank Governors and Financial Ministers meeting on Friday, April 6 in Singapore. The meeting highlighted a theme of resilience and innovation. Agus said in recent written statement that Bank Indonesia supported the strategic action plan to create a stable, integrated, and inclusive regional financial sector. He also said that the meeting underlined the importance of maintaining the stability of the macroeconomy and financial system resilience in the region, specifically amidst the high global uncertainty and rapid development of technological information in the financial sector. To maintain regional resilience in facing cyber risk, Agus Martowardoyo stated that central bank governors and finance ministers of the ASEAN region have agreed to increase awareness and capabilities of each member countries, which will allow effective facilitation of financial technology development in line with the preparedness of each ASEAN countries. Agus asserted that the meeting helps in identifying new perspectives and understandings on global and regional economy. The legal expert staff of Indonesian Ministry of Communication and Informatics, Henry Subiakto, assumed Facebook users' information, which previously reported have breached, could be used for criminal acts or political strategy in the 2019 election. The professor of communication from Erlangga University stated that the government has coordinated with national police to investigate the scandal and have sent a verbal and written notice to Facebook. Henry said in Jakarta on Sunday, April 8, that the government has urged Facebook to make an apology for those users whose data breach. The massive data breach began when Alexander Kogan, a University of Cambridge researcher, using personal data of 87 million of Facebook users for personality quiz app throughout 2014, 1 million of the data were from Indonesia. Meanwhile, director of Indonesia Media Watch, Agus Sudipyo, argued people might continuously worry if Facebook and the government did not announce the user's account whose data were breached. Indonesian Communication and Informatics Minister Rudiantara claimed the government is currently waiting for the audit result from Facebook on the data breach. Indonesian Consulate General in Marseille, France, promotes traditional Indonesian food to Marseille Mayor Jean Ruata, Government Promotion Director Frederic Olivo, and Asian Regional Director Marshall Kasper. Escorted by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Monday, April 9, the Indonesian Consulate General in Marseille promoting Indonesian food, among others, rendang, chicken satay, and gado-gado. In addition, the Marseille municipal government officials were also introduced to Indonesia's various tourism and economic potentials through video views and economic statistics. Several concrete steps of cooperation to be undertaken by the Indonesian Consulate General and City Government of Marseille in the near future are the Indonesian-French Student Exchange Program, Indonesian participation in Carnival de Marseille activities, meetings with port authorities and cruise ships, trade and investment programs, an Indonesian festival program that will feature dance performances, music, and other Indonesian art products. This activity is a form of culinary promotion diplomacy and concrete steps to foster good relations with policymakers of Marseille City. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The rupiah opens this week's trade with a 12 bps gain or 0.09% to 13,766 rupiah per US dollar. Analysts said the rupiah will maintain this appreciation due to a number of positive sentiments. Bina Arta Securitas analyst Muhammad Navan Aji Gusta said on Monday, April 9, that the market is still euphoric over March Forex Reserve announcement of $126 billion, providing a positive catalyst for the rupiah. External factors contributing to the rupiah gain includes the U.S. non-farm payroll data in March, which fell below investors' expectation. Additionally, the trade war between America and China, amplified by the Federal Reserve's plan to increase interest rates, become things that the global markets need to pay attention to. Indonesian state-owned telecommunication company Telkom Indonesia activated radio IP and satellite as the backup network to maintain telecommunication service due to the broken of cable optic in Sarmi Biak waters in Papua. The general manager, Lonely Baringin Managaranap, in Jayapura on Sunday, April 8, said, voice and text message as well as data of Papua Telkom Group have been activated using a satellite with a capacity of 266 Mbps and radio IP 1600 Mbps since April 7 at 5 p.m. local times. He explained the satellite capacity is gradually expanded while the radio already used its maximal capacity. According to Lonely, the broken optic cable was found at 363.67 km away from Jayapura. The reason is likely due to quake around Sarmi Biak waters on April 6 at 1700 hours, as reported by BMKG. Lonely further explained, Telkom temporarily prioritized the network for Telkom cell users and the establishment of the computer-based national exam UNBK. As for other services under Telkom Group, the company claimed will recover the network gradually using the existing backup network. That was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesian Air Force Day. April 9th has always become an important day for the Indonesian Air Force, or TNI-AU. That's the day when the first President Sukarno in 1946 declared the establishment of the Air Force. The date is also celebrated as National Aviation Day. The establishment of the Air Force cannot be separated from the establishment of the People's Security Service, called PKR, on August 23, 1945. Later, on October 5, 1945, PKR changed into the People's Security Army, or TKR. The then Air Force was named TKR Flight Bureau under Air Commander Surjadi Surjadharma as the base Air Force Chief of Staff. On January 23, 1946, TKR was upgraded again to the Army of the Republic of Indonesia, TRI, as a continuation of the development of the Air Force. So on April 9, 1946, TRI Bureau of Flight was removed and it was then replaced with the name of Air Force of Republic of Indonesia. Since then, April 9 has been celebrated as the birthday of the Indonesian Air Force, or TNI-AU. In addition to the short birth process of TNI-AU, about 7 months since the independence of Indonesia, the main equipment of the weaponry system, or alutsista, owned by the Air Force at the time was only used aircraft obtained from the loot of Japanese soldiers such as Churent, Nishikorent, Guntei, and Hayabusa. The number of aviators and technicians was very limited. With the limited defense equipment owned at the time, the Air Force was able to inscribe gold ink in the history of Indonesian struggle For the first time, a plane with a red and white identity was flown by Air Commander Agustinus Adi Sucipto on October 27, 1945. The Air Force is now 72 years old, although the condition of the main equipment of the weaponry system Alutsista of the Air Force has not been in accordance with the need to support its operations. This does not demotivate the spirit to guard and maintain the integrity of unitary state of Republic Indonesia in accordance with the motto Swah Buwana Paksa, or the wind of my homeland. May the Indonesian Air Force always be the protector of the entire territory of Indonesian sovereignty and can elevate the dignity of nation and build a glorious Indonesia in the air. Long live the Air Force. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from April 9, 1946, when Indonesian Air Force was commemorated. Indonesian Air Force, TNAAU, is part of Indonesian military, which is responsible on state defense operation on air. Earlier, the TNAAU was part of Indonesian Army with the name the People's Security Army. The Indonesian Air Force was established on April 9, 1946, along with the establishment of the Army of Republic of Indonesia, TRI, as a continuous development of the Air Force. This was based on the Government Decision No. 6, 1946. The change cannot be separated from the Indonesian government's era in struggling against its independence from the Dutch. Thus, Indonesia has needed the Air Force, assisted by Indonesian Army and Police, to defend the state dignity. So on April 9th, the Indonesian Air Force is commemorated as a historical moment of the change of People's Security Army of the Aviation Bureau to become the Indonesian Air Force. In the history, April 9th was commemorated as the day of endorsement of the Armed Forces of Indonesian Air Force and was also commemorated as anniversary of Air Force. Then this is celebrated as the birthday of the TNAAU. The date is also celebrated as National Aviation Day. The next event is that in 2001, President Abdurrahman Wahid permitted China's New Year to be celebrated by its followers. In Indonesia, during the government's new regime since 1968 until 1999, China's dissidents were prohibited to celebrate China's New Year to public. This was based on the instruction of President No. 14, 1967, which was issued by the second president Suharto, who prohibited all China's events, including China's New Year. But under the government of the fourth president Abdurrahman Wahid, China's descendants in Indonesia had been permitted to celebrate China's New Year beginning in 2000. Thus, the fourth president Abdurrahman Wahid officially revoked the instruction of the President No. 19, 2001 on April 9, 2001, which officiated China's New Year as a facultative holiday. This means that it is valid only for them to enjoy holiday for the celebration. Then since 2002, China's New Year has been officially declared as national holiday by the fifth president Megawati Sukarnoputri until now. A And the last event is that in 2009, general elections of the House of Representatives, Regional Representative Council, Regional House of Representatives were implemented. General election of the House of the Representatives, Regional Representative Council, Regional House of Representatives, so-called Legislative General Election 2009, were implemented to vote 560 members of the House of Representatives, 132 members of the Regional Representative Council, and members of Regional House of Representatives, including Provincial Regional House and Regional City of the Representatives, throughout Indonesia for the period 2009-2014. The vote was implemented simultaneously on April 9, 2009. The general election of the members of the House of Representatives was implemented by an open proportional system whose calculations were based on the number of electoral districts with electoral participants by political parties. This election was conducted for the first time by the determination of elected candidate based on the most votes, instead of the serial number of candidate members, which was determined by political parties. The general election of members of the House of Representatives 2009 was participated in by 38 political parties. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia. Today's topic is Indonesia and Singapore strengthens investment cooperation in three sectors. Indonesia and Singapore agreed to strengthen cooperation in three priority sectors, namely capital market, digital economy, and tourism, as well as supporting infrastructure. This is one of the points of agreements in the second Indonesia-Singapore Business Council, or ISBC, meeting organized by Investment Coordinating Board BKPM along with Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry (KADIN) in cooperation with the Economic Development Board or EDB Singapore and the Singapore Business Federation or SBF at the office of BKPM in Jakarta on last Thursday. The meeting was one of the follow-ups of the implementation of ISBC's Memorandum of Understanding, signed on July 28, 2017. Based on the MOU, it was agreed that the ISBC members' meetings are held twice a year, alternately in Jakarta and Singapore. Indonesia-Singapore Business Council is a joint venture between Indonesian and Singaporean business people. Its establishment is supported by BKPM and EDB. ISBC members are the top 10 entrepreneurs from Indonesia and Singapore, respectively. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board of Indonesia, Thomas Lembong, said that the three sectors agreed were chosen so that both countries could benefit and optimize their potential. Thomas Lembong explained that Indonesia can take advantage of Singapore, which has been known as a financial hub in Asia, to get finance from investment projects in the tourism sector and digital economy. Lembong further explained that in the first ISBC closed-door meeting held on September 7, 2017 in Singapore, it was agreed that from six sectors that become excellent, only three sectors will be prioritized in the medium term, namely capital markets, digital economy, and tourism, along with its supporting infrastructure. Thomas Lembong added that from these activities, the delegation is expected to get direct information about potential projects in the tourism and infrastructure sectors. From the data owned by BKPM, the realization of investment from Singapore for 2012 until 2017 period reached $39 billion. This realization listed Singapore as the largest investor in Indonesia. However, the realization of investment figures from Singapore is quite volatile. The position in 2016 reached $9.1 billion, decreased into $8.4 billion in 2017. Investors from Singapore invested mainly in transportation sector, warehousing and telecommunications, plant and plantation, as well as paper industry. In terms of location, the distribution of Singapore's investment is fairly even, marked by 50% outside Java and 49% in Java Island. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with news in brief. In anticipating many challenges of strategic environmental dynamism, the Indonesian Air Force must have willingness and commitment to create optimal result. However, it must be realized that maintaining the condition of main weaponry system of the Air Force is not easy, because it relates to the readiness of all components of the Air Force, both personnel, main weaponry system, Air Force base, facilities, and other infrastructures. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has urged the people to consume local foods as the main nutritional intake to prevent stunting or dwarfishness and malnutrition. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowadoyo was present in the annual ASEAN Central Bank Governors and Financial Ministers meeting on Friday in Singapore. The meeting highlighted a theme of resilience and innovation. The legal expert staff of Indonesian Ministry of Communication and Information Technology, Henry Subiakto, assumed Facebook users' information which previously reported have breached could be used for criminal acts or political strategy in the 2019 election. Indonesian Consulate General in Marseille, France, promotes traditional Indonesian food to Marseille Mayor Jean Rota. Government Promotion Director Frederick Olivo and Asian Regional Director Marshall Kasper. The rupiah opens this week straight with a 12 bps gain or 0.09% to 13,766 rupiah per US dollar. Indonesian state-owned telecom company Telkom Indonesia activated radio IP and satellite as the backup network to maintain telecommunication service due to the broken of cable optic in Sarmi Biak waters in Papua. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to KJ Dance from Bengkulu. Stay tuned. Listener, Rejang tribe is one of tribes which live in Bengkulu province. Majority of tribe live in some regions such as Lebong, Rejang Lebong, and Kapahiang of Bengkulu province, especially in the central north areas and hinterland of surrounding Barisan Hill, with inhabitants reaching around 900,000 people. Rejang tribe has typical dance, which is conducted in every traditional ceremony. The dance is called KJ Dance. Listener, KJ Dance is conducted when there is a biggest ceremony in Rejang tribe,
namely KJ ceremony. The ceremony is called the biggest ceremony because it is conducted by people who are able to slaughter some cows, goats, or buffaloes, a requirement of the implementation of KJ ceremony. KJ dance is conducted by young people at the center of the village at night. The dance is as introducing even among young girls and boys. The dance has typical accompaniments of instruments which are made from bamboo, such as kulintang, seruling, and gong. Listener, KJ dance was performed for the first time on wedding of Princess Senggang and Bhikkhu Bermano was held. This dance is believed to have existed before the arrival of monk from Majapahit Kingdom. Since monk came, the instrument was changed with metal and it is used until now. According to the history, the book of KJ implementation was stored in the stomach of monk Bermano. KJ event is conducted in the long run. It can be implemented for 3 days, 15 days, 3 months, or even 6 months, respectively. Listener, the dance is sacred dance which is believed by society to have mystical values, so that it is only conducted by Rajang people in welcoming monks, wedding, and clans tradition. In 2017, the dance is determined as one of intangible cultural heritage by Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi. The termination was signed by handing over certificate of intangible cultural heritage by Minister Muhajir Effendi to Acting Governor of Bengkulu, Dr. Veterinarian Rohidin Merisyah. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring KJ Dance from Bengkulu. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia along with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is lokasi, or in English, location. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about lokasi or, in English, location. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation between Toy Guide and Tony at Prambanan Temple.
Candi apa yang ada di tengah?
Candi Siwa.
Lalu, candi apa yang ada di sebelah kiri Candi Siwa?
Candi Brahma.
Oh, di mana Candi Wisnu?
Candi Wisnu ada di sebelah kanan Candi Siwa.
After After we listened to the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies, idioms, and sentences related to the topic today about lokasi, or in English, location. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Candi. Candi, in English, temple. Apa nama candi yang di tengah? Apa nama candi yang di tengah? In English, what is the name of the temple in the middle? Sebelah kanan. Sebelah kanan. In English, to the right. Sebelah kiri. Sebelah kiri. In English, to the left. Candi Wisnu ada di sebelah kanan Candi Siwa. Candi Wisnu ada di sebelah kanan Candi Siwa. In English, Wisnu Temple is to the right of Shiva Temple. Listener, to mention the position of building or anything else, you can say A ada di sebelah kanan B. A ada di sebelah kanan B. In English, A is to the right B. Or A ada di sebelah kiri B. A ada di sebelah kiri B. In English, A is to the left B. To ask about something based on its position, you can say pohon apa yang ada di belakang candi? Pohon apa yang ada di belakang candi? In English, what is the tree behind the temple? Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for your listening clearly, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Candi apa yang ada di tengah?
Candi Siwa.
Lalu, candi apa yang ada di sebelah kiri Candi Siwa?
Candi Brahma.
Oh, di mana Candi Wisnu?
Candi Wisnu ada di sebelah kanan Candi Siwa.
As an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be interesting prizes for the selected senders. Please say your name, your address, and your favorite food. For example, Selamat pagi, nama saya Tina. Saya berasal dari Indonesia. Makanan kesukaan saya, nasi goreng. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we present Kroncong Song by Wal Jina. Listener, let's listen to the song entitled Sekuntum Bunga di Puncak Kiri by Wal Jina. Happy listening. Just listen to The song Sekuntum Bunga di Puncak Giri, an original Kroncong song. In the works of art such as poetry or song lyric, the word of flower often describes a woman with all its beauty and gentleness. This song seems to imply the meaning about a person's admiration to a woman, one to hugs and cares, but it is impossible. The song Sekuntum Bunga di Puncak Giri is a beautiful and poetic song by Waljina, an Indonesian Kroncong singer from Solo, Central Java. Waljina, who was born in 1945, is known as a Kroncong singer, especially in Javanese Kroncong songs. Her singing ability has led her to hold the title as the Queen of Kroncong. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Asmara by Waljina. Enjoy the song.
Setiap aku
There's another original Kroncong song that tells about the beginning of love until finally they engage. Listener, while Gina started her singing career after she won the singing contest entitled Ratu Kembang Kacang in 1958. She also won Bintang Radio Singing Contest in 1965. Earlier in her career, while Gina launched the compilation album with other singers, namely Alingo Boboyo Margo album in 1968 with Annie Kusrini and Sri Rahajeng. Many albums of Waljina were accompanied by Bintang Surakarta Kroncong Orchestra, led by Waljina herself. Waljina had a duet with Mus Mulyadi, also known as the Crocodile of Kroncong. The song Walang Keke has brought her name popular in Indonesia, besides the song Jangkrik Genggong. Waljina also often dedicated the songs composed by Gesang, Anjarani, and Ismail Marzuki. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Meratap Hati and Nona Manis by Waljina. Happy listening.
Menanggung hati ri.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.